Hurkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. We got another one. We have the Greg Wilson special Saturday show.
That's right. We're back.
You guys wanted it, so we're bringing it to you. Okay, that's everyone keeps asking, when's Greg coming back? Greg is back. We're going to try to do it Saturday. As long as I'm in town, we're going to have it.
Yeah. If you're around and I'm around, might as well do it, which is great.
I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, when you're in need for weed, Speedweed is the place to go. They got the best edibles, the best CBD oil, the best marijuana, anything you need, the best vapes. Anything you need as far as marijuana and cannabis oil, and if you're fighting and you need the roll-ons, they have the sprays, they have cannabis dip, they got you covered. Go to speedweed.com, use the term roasted for 10% off orders over $100 or more.
I feel the need for Speedweed.
I like it. That's actually very, yes. So how are you doing, Greg?
Top Gun moment there for you.
So what's going on?
What is going on? No, I'm on break from the game show, which is nice. I have these 2 weeks, and I'll be out just doing shows this weekend out at the El Paso Comic Strip, which you were there recently, I think.
I love the place.
Yeah, and then I'll be in Vegas for the Dirty at 12:30 on the 29th. And then in Seattle at the Underground for New Year's Eve. So I'm very excited.
Nice.
And we're going to see each other in Vegas.
Yes.
And we're going to go to the fights.
Yes. Yes, we
can
are.
I just say really quickly, like, okay, so tonight, which by the time this thing is out there, it'll probably be over.
Yeah.
But is Dos Anjos versus Lawler.
Robbie Lawler, yeah.
And this is free on Fox.
It's
Fox UFC Fight Night.
Yes.
But the Holly Holm is a pay-per-view.
Yep.
Okay.
It does seem like this wouldn't be necessarily a pay-per-view card.
But more than that card.
I don't understand. Well, having Holly Holm as a pay-per-view
Headliner
really doesn't make any sense because she's not even the number one ranked girl at 135.
Right.
So now we're going up to 145 where there's virtually no weight class at all. Just Cyborg.
Right.
So now
Cyborg sitting there sweating.
And if she loses, does she go back down to 135? Like, it really doesn't make much sense.
And yet that's a pay-per-view. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, they keep doing this where it's like they make shows that I don't think should be pay-per-views. And then this, I think, should be a pay-per-view. Although I'm glad it's not because I can't wait to see this fight.
I'm glad it's not too, especially because Mike Perry is on that card.
Loudmouth.
The guy that Alan Jouban beat, who beat Ellenberger. And during the weigh-in, he tried to smell his opponent this time.
Hey, man, listen, you know what? We're talking about him.
Smells their opponent? Like, that's just a whole new form of like creepiness.
Like, yeah, I wonder what he said, though. Like, smells like fear.
Something.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he was looking for coke, and
thought he had some in there.
Maybe. Something's a little strange. I think he's going to lose to Ponzinibbio, but, you know, think about Mike Perry. He hits super hard, and he's super confident. And when you're confident like that, and it's just confidence is so important.
It really is.
Because you see guys, like, they win 10 in a row, and then all of a sudden they lose one, and they're never the same. I mean, a lot of, like, Barao or even Aldo.
Because they don't even realize they can lose. And then when they do, it's like it shakes them to the core.
Other guys, like, are not that confident, but then they have the fight of their lives, and they're like, oh, shit, I could hang at this level. And then they're different fighters, you know?
Yeah.
So it's weird the way that works. But, yeah, that's just a good card. But Khabib's on that card.
Khabib, so is he fighting? He's going to
He's fighting.
I mean, right now.
No, he's fighting on that New Year's card, actually.
But I'm saying, like, he's still scheduled to fight, but you don't think he's going to show up.
It's so funny. No, I think he's going to show up. I do, of course.
Or get injured.
Only once since he did, like, week of the fight against Ferguson did something, and that was weird. Like, they didn't let his family into the country, and then it was a weird circumstance.
Gee, I wonder who's to blame for that one.
Yeah, wonder. Meanwhile, by the way, my wrestling team won.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great. The team won as a team.
We won as a team. We won 71-30 against Harbor Westlake, and it's a super expensive school. It's like a very...
It sounds like
it's in Beverly Hills. I think it's like $50,000 a year to go there.
I feel like you had to pay him money just to say it just now.
Yeah. And it was one of those things when I first came to L.A., like, I got this wrestling coach job. They never had a program. And then I coached him for a week, and then I had to leave, right? I had to leave. So Dixon Matthews? He was a comedian for a second, and now he's a chef. So I'm like, I need someone to help me. He's like, I used to wrestle. He did, like, WWE wrestling, but told me he did, like wrestling.
So I left teaching him pile drivers?
So I left him with the team, right? They were all doing, like, front acrobatic flips to escapes and, like, stuff that was so
not
I came
real wrestling.
I came back and Harbor Westlake beat us like 71-0. I mean, they just it was so bad that like my guy, this is like 12 years ago, brought in another coach. He's like, hey, maybe you want to help these guys out, and the coach is like, yeah, you don't want to lose 71-0. But like, it wasn't my fault. I only had the team for a week,
right?
You know, but now it's a whole. It was like.
This circled on your calendar.
Oh, it was great. And it was funny. Like, there was this little kid on my team. He's been going there for like a month practice. He's about to go out to his match. He looks at me and he goes, "Coach, what do I do?" Like, what do you do?
I think it's wrestling time, kid.
Yeah, like, what do you mean, what do you do? Like,
you do like, everything we've been practicing for the last 6 weeks.
Right. And then that little kid from Chechnya, he actually won 3 matches.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was actually losing the first match. It's a kid who was like a beast. And then he comes off and he won. He pinned the kid. And he goes, "I thought I lost." I'm like, no, you won. Like, he didn't really understand like all the rules because it's different over there.
Well, he's just here to infiltrate our country.
No, the kid is killing it. I was so proud of him.
I am here to start fire in Ventura.
He's such a nice kid.
That's great.
And I was so happy for these kids because, like, you know, it's so nice when you see a kid that like never did anything athletic in his life or like,
right.
You know, and then he goes out there and just wins, and his parents are like, did you see the parents so proud of them because they don't really know what's going
right,
on.
Right.
It was funny, like one of the moms made us all cookies for the team, and I was like, okay, these are my cookies. If you win, you get a cookie. If not, you have to watch me eat the cookie. And then
sounds like something I would do if I were coaching. Only I would just eat the cookies. Oh, you won? Oh, I'll get you a cookie, kid. I owe you one.
But it was so funny. Russell Peters, there's a little Indian kid on my team. And I was like, oh, I'm good friends with Russell Peters. And he didn't believe me. He's like, no, you're not. So Russell Peters actually FaceTimed the kid before the match.
Really?
Because the kid was super nervous. So Russell wished him good luck. And then he was so excited. And then his brothers didn't believe that Russell Peters really did it. So Russell made a video for him saying, "See, Derek, like you win. You talk to Russell Peters, and then you win wrestling matches."
That's
so
funny.
I mean, how cool is that of Russell to do that?
Dude, that guy's the nicest guy ever.
Ever, ever. I mean, you don't meet celebrities that big that like do stuff like that. So then Russell asked me to open up for him last night at the Comedy Magic Club. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm still like not that comfortable at that club though, because you have to dress super nice. You have to wear like a button-down shirt or like a, and then you got to be totally clean.
Right.
Not totally clean, but clean enough where anything you say that's edgy gets a ooh. You know, like I'm still not as free.
Wow, you got to be that clean? Like, you got to be super clean?
I just, you don't have to be super clean, especially if you're famous. You don't have to be clean at all. But it's just still like I'm not comfortable. Like, I did well. I had a good set. But you know how it is, like at the HaHa, where it's like your home club or one of these other places. And then you go to a place like that where it's like, I don't know. Just like, there are certain places like you just, I don't know. You just, somehow I'm not as, but then I did the Laugh Factory, hosted that show, which was like, You know, it was just amazing.
That's great.
It was good. It was, but of course, Bree came with her friends.
Oh, that's great. You want to see her see you crush?
Yeah, I want to see me crush. But her friends saw me bomb. Like our first date, they came, and my dad was there, and he's like, "Dude, if she talks to you again, you're gonna be this is marry her
because she can see your potential."
that's what he said.
Her friend, son, you didn't do the pussy closing set you usually do tonight. So if you ever see her again, she really likes you.
She brought all her feminist friends. They were just judgy pandas, you know. Were you nervous when Summer first saw you or not?
No.
Really?
Well, no, because I mean, I met her after I super crushed.
Right.
So I mean, and let me tell you something. Summer, and at this time, this is when I would still collect phone numbers, as opposed to this is like right at the dawn of social media. We're talking like 2006, 2007. So it was still MySpace was kind of the big thing, and Facebook was just beginning to really take over. And so I would still get girls' numbers, you know, so I could text them.
Yeah.
So she was like one of like a dozen numbers I got that night.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah. Like I mean, I was on fire. I was collecting pussy.
I gotta tell you a funny story about that. After, so we're gonna call a guy right now who's 14-1 in the UFC, former heroin addict, former coke addict. Oh, been to rehab 10 times.
Wow, he really loves it.
Yeah, and now he's killing it in the UFC.
Well, you know, that just shows you sometimes, you know, rehab doesn't work if you're not ready to quit.
Yeah.
Rehab only works if you're going there like, I gotta quit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you go there like because you have to go there, you're going to start using the second you get out. I mean, it just happens.
Well, isn't that kind of everything in life?
I guess so.
I mean, if you're not ready to diet, you're not going to lose the weight. You know, Jared?
Listen, I'm ready to lose the weight. I'm just not ready to diet.
Hello, is this Jared Gordon?
I just want to be naturally thin.
Jared.
In another riveting episode of MMA Roasted.
I got this.
This isn't the right number.
All right, I got this. This is going to work.
Okay, so we're going to call him on the cell phone. Tell him we're calling him on the Skype.
Yes, because Skype
What is it? When Skype calls you, what does it look like? Like no ID?
Yeah, no ID.
That's why people don't answer.
Yeah, people think it's like a...
You have to let them know first. Hey, that's me, man. Answer the no ID call. Otherwise,
I feel like people don't take up the phone anyway now. Like,
you know, I was shooting a project recently, and I was scheduled for a conference call to discuss it with the director first. And I thought...
Hello?
Oh, wait.
All right, go on.
I thought they were going to call me.
Yeah.
And I would just be on the conference call. So I'm waiting like the entire time and the time passes and it gets later. And I'm like, what the fuck happened to these guys? I thought we were going to have a conference call. Then I start getting emails going, so Greg, what happened to you, man? Listen, you want to try to get it? I'm like, what happened? And then I read the instructions and I was supposed to call into them and like enter some code to enter the conference call. So really, I completely missed it and looked great. I was really, looked like a real pro.
Well, it's crazy. Like, so I'm on the road all the time, you know, driving an hour, 2 hours. And I like to talk to people when I drive.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get to catch up and nobody picks up the phone.
Yeah.
Like nobody, like it's a matter of like.
We don't like to talk on the phone anymore.
Nobody wants it. And it's annoying because there's only so much you can do texting. Like somebody.
The worst is having an actual conversation via text. Like, can we at this point talk? Like, I understand if it's a one question, one answer thing, but if we're actually going back and forth, hey, let's pick up the phone and actually just talk. What about that? I can't have anything to do.
No, that has nothing. My dad just makes stuff up.
Like, maybe.
By the way, my dad's in the room. He makes stuff up and then gets mad when I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. And then he goes, I don't need this. You know?
He just told me that Adam is able to join. The Wi-Fi in the room, and I can't because he has Verizon.
My dad has all these theories about why things are, and then I'm like, no, that has nothing to do with it. And then he gets mad and goes, oh, I don't need this. I knew Salvador Dali. You know?
Did you know Salvador Dali?
Yeah.
Did he smell weird? Was he bad? No, he smelled good, yeah.
Yeah.
Was he a weirdo? Didn't really smell him. You didn't smell him? You ain't close enough?
So, anyway. Didn't get
Never get that close.
So anyway, do you have any guest spots tonight, Greg?
No, tonight is the annual ugly Christmas sweater party with some friends.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You're always going to party. You have a lot of friends. Your friends are never comics, though.
Right. I have, like, regular friends.
Really?
Which is very nice. It's good to have non-comedy friends.
The worst when you go to a comedy party and everyone's either networking or trying out their material.
Yeah. You know what it is? It was for Conference Room 5G. Not, which is a different one than just regular conference room because that one connected. So there we go. So we're all set up now.
Yeah.
So I but
that's the worst when everyone's trying out material.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, comics tend to not be very good friends because everyone's so self-involved. Which, I mean, here's the thing. It takes a lot of ego to be a comedian to begin with. You know, I mean, at some point in your mind, you have to think to yourself, I'm so brilliant that people need to pay money to hear me talk, okay? Now, that takes a lot of ego.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you put a bunch of people like that in a room together, and it's not necessarily great conversation. It's kind of a lot of people talking at each other.
Yeah, no, you're
so right. So it's nice to be in have a whole other group of friends that are just people, you know, that I'm the comedian, quote-unquote, of the group.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, it's very nice, very regular.
Although it is annoying when, like, non-comic friends want to give you advice on comedy.
Like, oh yeah, but that, I mean that just, you know, most of them don't do that. I mean
the worst is or like family members, like, hey, why don't you get on a show?
Oh yeah, it's like, dude, what's his name? Chris Garrett has this funny thing about moving to LA, and his dad telling him, here's what you do. His dad from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is like, here's what you do. You go down there to NBC and you tell him, hey, I'm ready to work.
It's
a construction site or something. They're like, where's the hiring office?
I have people that I never met before, like, text me or DM me on Instagram going, hey, why doesn't Joe Rogan help you out more? I'm like, we're not, ask fucking Joe Rogan, number one. Number two, like, who are you? And yeah. Like, why are we even having this dialogue?
Yeah.
I wrote back. I was on his podcast once. Like, yeah, that was 3 years ago. Leave me alone. Like, worry about your fucking life, dude. Fuck, man.
Someone was showing me some of the Cardi B. We'll see you later, buddy. You know who Cardi B is? That horrible chick rapper? Some of her videos, her Instagram videos or Twitter videos that she puts up, hysterical. What? Not a fan of her music, but I am a fan of these.
Why? What is she?
Because she's like, I guess she got her teeth fixed, and she's like, "Don't be coming at me with that shit. That you missed my old teeth. You and my teeth weren't friends."
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought that was hysterical. My teeth don't miss you. You don't miss my teeth.
Oh God.
I just attacked her. It was hysterical.
Okay, so Sean O'Malley's not picking up either. So I don't think we have any guests today. On that podcast, so yeah, this has been. I don't care. All I need is fucking Greg, honestly. But
it'll be a short show.
No, it's not gonna be a short show. We're not gonna be a short show. Absolutely not. Hey, what's up? It's Adam Hunter. I'm calling you for the podcast. Okay, cool. I'm gonna call you in like 1 second from a different number. Okay.
All right. You see there? Right when you were about to give up.
Yeah.
Right when you were about to quit.
I was about to quit the show. About to quit on fucking people picking up the phone.
Oh, I was gonna quit the show.
Oh, thanks, man. But Cardi B. I don't even know Cardi B. I do like her attitude, though.
Dude, this. You know what the thing is? Her song. You know, her big hit song that I'm a money now. Yeah. I can get it now. Okay. This. Okay. When I hear.
Is this Sean O'Malley?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? This is Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How's it going, buddy?
Doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. You're here with D. Greg Wilson.
Hey.
Greg, I don't know if you know this guy, Sean O'Malley. So he's 9-0. Mm-hmm. He looks like Conor McGregor and Screech had a baby. Okay, ooh. Like he has this crazy afro hair.
Yeah.
He's got sick knockout power. I mean, he just knocks fuckers out left and right. Totally unorthodox. And spinning wheel kicks. I mean, just
love it.
And he's from Montana. So how are you, Sean?
Doing awesome. Just got done with practice. Just getting home. So I'm doing good.
So you're living in Arizona now?
Yep, living in Arizona. Me and my girlfriend just bought a house.
Nice. Well, what are you, 22 years old?
23.
23 and you bought a house? I'm 39 and I can't afford a house, you prick. Nice work.
Thank you.
Are you gonna mow your rocks? Do you have one of those rock lawns that you they?
Oh, really? In Arizona, they have.
Yeah,
that?
Yeah. And I see them out there like raking the rocks.
Are you gonna do that? Are you gonna mow your rocks?
No, I'm thinking about putting in some of that AstroTurf, that fake grass stuff.
Oh, nice. Now, dude,
but then I don't gotta mow that either.
Now, dude, your last fight, by the way. Was against my buddy, Tarion Ware. So I was kind of rooting for my buddy because he's been on the podcast 10 times. But I liked you. I wasn't rooting against you. I just know Tarion personally. I wasn't really like, you know, like I like you and I like what you do. But I'm like, oh, it'd be nice, Tarion. But that was a fucking war, man. Great
fuck
fight.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that fight, man.
Thank you. Yeah, Tarion, he seems super cool. I talked to him a little after... I was hoping me and him would get that 50G fight of the night, but...
Yeah, that is such bullshit that you didn't get that. You definitely should have got that fight of the night. That was way better than the Roxanne Motto fight. The Roxanne Motto fight was good, but your fight was like a different level, man. Different level.
100%. Yeah, I agree, but whatever. What are we going to do?
Yeah, no, man, it's all good. Now your style is so unorthodox. Now, is it... Do you have a karate background? What's your background?
No, I don't actually. I pretty much taught myself all my own kicks. I kind of started out boxing and kickboxing, but it wasn't more of just sparring. I never really learned technique. I don't know. It's kind of just until I moved to Arizona is really when I started learning, techniques. But yeah, I pretty much taught all my own kicks and stuff.
So you taught yourself that like spinning wheel kick, that LFA thing that you did that was amazing.
I work on that a lot. You know, what I do is I throw that right head kick up against the fence to make them, they only can go one way after I throw that kick, and that's into my power when I spin. So I throw that. That wasn't lucky or nothing. I throw that all the time.
Nice.
Well, I mean, that was amazing. Now, Snoop Dogg loved you. I mean, he was like,
yeah,
he was all about you. Did you guys smoke weed afterwards together?
Yes, we did. It was fucking
sweet. Yeah, bro. That's awesome.
It was fucking sweet.
I mean, how strong was Snoop Dogg's weed?
I think he got it from a dispensary that I have gotten weed from before. But yeah, I hadn't smoked in like 2 weeks because I had to pass the test. So I was, and then after the fight, I just had like a natural high because I just got signed to UFC. So I was like high on that.
I bet.
And then I fucking smoked with Snoop, and then I was about to lost my brain.
Nice.
That's awesome.
But it was fun.
Did you ever think to yourself, like, one day I'm going to be in the UFC smoking weed with Snoop Dogg? Was that ever like a goal or a bucket list thing for you to do?
Well, once I found out what the UFC was, like, at first, like, when I first started fighting, I knew of the UFC, but it was never like a thought. But once I started like winning fights and started thinking about getting the UFC, I never thought I'd be smoking with Snoop, but it just worked out perfect.
That's awesome. Now, were there some pretty hot bitches? Was it crazy hot bitches?
No, there actually wasn't. It was just because it was, we just went back to his trailer. So it was right outside the Ultimate Fighter gym.
Oh, okay.
And there was just like, so it was just like me, him, a couple of his bodyguards, and
That's still pretty dope, but...
That's still awesome.
I would be hoping for some Girls Gone Wild action or something, you know what I mean?
Well, I know.
Well, I mean, you got a serious girlfriend, right? I mean, if you guys are moving in together, how long have you guys been together for?
Over 2 years.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice. Did you meet her in Arizona?
Yeah, I did. I met her in Arizona, yeah.
You got a lot of pretty girls out there in Arizona, man.
The hottest chick.
So hot.
Yeah.
Oh, you go to a strip club. It's like, hot.
Not enough of them work at the strip clubs, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Those ASU girls are just insane.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to the wrong strip clubs in Arizona.
There's some hot bitches here for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You're killing it. Now, I always thought like wrestling was going to be maybe your Achilles heel because of like your karate stance and that. Do you think that's the one? Right. Do you think that's the one thing that you have to work on the most?
I don't know about the most. I think I enjoy, like, if I could pick on something I could do for the day that I like, would enjoy the most, it'd probably be grappling. I love jiu-jitsu. I love grappling. It's one of my favorite things, like, all week. Like, my favorite practices are the grappling practices. So that's not even something I really think, like, oh, I got to make sure I'm working on it. It's like, that's just something I work on all the time. And, you know, I didn't even know how to wrestle 3 years ago, and now I feel like I'm a pretty decent wrestler. You know, I got 3 takedowns in the 3rd round.
That was awesome.
That's going to be what it is. So
no, I was super impressed. And you know what it was, man? Like, you won the first round. I you could give Terry on the second, although I can give you the second also. It was one of those fights where I could see it going the way. But that 3rd round, like, people were like, "Oh, O'Malley's going to gas. O'Malley's going to gas." You came out even stronger. Like, it was really impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, I felt, I knew, like, I fucking trained hard. I knew I was going to be, my body was in shape. I've been sparring 3 rounds, you know, in camp. So I knew I could go 3 rounds and I knew I could push. I don't know. I just gasped where I got my second win, though. And then I felt really good.
Oh, man. I was super impressed, man. I mean, I was a fan before. I'm even a bigger fan now. Especially because you knocked out Edmonds' guy.
You hate Edmonds.
Edmonds the worst. That guy's the worst coach in history of coaching. Who do you want to fight next?
I'm not exactly sure who we're gonna fight next. We have a couple options. I was thinking, you know, Benito Lopez looks pretty good. He's 9-0. I don't know if they want to do contender winners versus contender winners. Or that one kid who just knocked out Luke Sanders.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Dork, I don't know his name.
Right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was impressive because Luke Sanders is a good fighter.
I thought Luke was gonna win that fight. I think Luke beats that kid 9 out of 10 times, but you know, he got caught. That kid was on a 2-fight losing streak, took short notice fight, stepped up, and it paid off for him. So, yeah, you know, props for that.
Andre Sukhamsath. Or something.
Well said. That's probably right. That's probably exactly how that's pronounced.
Suck it, math.
Suck it, math. Andre, that's more likely.
He's an Asian guy who says math. Of course, he's a fighter.
Yeah, the Asian sensation, dude. Yeah, him.
Yeah, absolutely.
The
cool,
Asian
man.
Asian sensation.
So, I mean, are you sure you want to get a... Should you be married first before you buy a house with a girl?
What's that?
Well, I mean, shouldn't you be married before you buy the house? I mean, you're buying a house with this girl.
Yeah.
Are you going to marry her?
Oh, yeah, I'm we'll see. Mary, I don't really think, like, that word's kind of stupid, I think. I think that's kind of I don't know. We're just going with the flow.
There you go. That's right, kid. Ride it out.
I told my wife the same thing, and, it didn't work that well for me, man.
Yeah.
But,
we both kind of think the same about marriage. You know, I don't know, we both love each other. We're just going with the flow.
I mean, you're definitely like, how many women though have seen you on TV and the way you fight and the way you look and have tried to get in on that? Have you been getting a lot of chicks? A lot of.
Oh
DMs?
Yeah, that it's hard. Yeah, I got some people just straight. Some chicks just straight up send me nudes, which is sweet. You know, that's nothing. I can't do anything about that. So if they want to do that, that's fine with me. But yeah, a lot
right,
of chicks.
Exactly. You can't do nothing about that. If your pants fall down around your ankles and you just start whacking off to them, that's just natural.
But what does your wife say? Exactly. Is like your wife like, why are you sending my boyfriend nudes?
Nah, she doesn't even think that much into it. We're good. She don't care really. Like, if it happens, it happens.
Can I tell you something, bro? This is serious. I mean, I've been on TV dozens of times. I perform stand-up, a lot of standing ovations. Never have I had chicks randomly sending me dudes. Like, I get a lot of, you're super funny. You know,
you got to learn how to throw a wheel kick.
I got to learn how to throw a wheel kick. There you go.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can throw a wheel kick, but it's me actually kicking a wheel.
Snapchat?
No, I specifically don't have Snapchat.
You get no tit pics.
Yeah, you gotta get Snapchat. You gotta get the kids.
You gotta get your Snapchat.
Yeah.
That's where it's all. That's why I stay away from it, actually, because I'm afraid shit's gonna go down on Snapchat, and I don't want nothing to do with it.
That is a good idea.
Are you smoking weed right now? You sound like you're pretty high.
I just took a... I'm making some food, smoking, chilling.
Good for you. Yes, brother, it's Saturday. Live your dreams.
This is like my favorite kid ever.
Exactly.
This kid's chill. He gets it.
You guys in New York? That's where you guys are?
No, well, it's a New York number. I'm from New York, but we live in California now. But but I'm going to be in Arizona in June. I'm doing a comedy show at the House of Comedy. Last time, John Crouch came and Lauren Murphy Barbarina. So I would love to see you in June, my friend.
Dude, hell yeah. You said June?
Yeah, in June.
So. Okay, hopefully I'll be fighting March 3rd, and then that'd be perfect. I'd definitely come. Me and my girl would come for sure.
I love it. I love it. Well, dude, thanks for being on the podcast. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, man. Happy holidays.
Hell yeah. You guys too. Thanks.
Take care.
Yeah, man. Merry Christmas.
Bye. Merry
Christmas. Nice kid.
No, he's a good kid.
You would not think fighter when you see that kid down the street with that hair.
I don't know. I think maybe you do because really? I have a feeling he had to learn to fight pretty early on.
In Montana?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a badass kid right there.
Yeah.
It just shows you, though, you never know who can fight.
His first fight was probably against a bobcat up in Montana. He's fighting a bobcat in a river at the same time.
The kid's so funny, man.
Yeah.
So funny. So how are you doing, man? How was your week?
Everything's good, man. What happened? Nothing this week. We had the table reads. You know, I got cast in a show for Amazon.
Yes.
And we don't know we're doing a pilot, and we had the big table read for all the Amazon executives. And
is that nervous, though?
Here's the thing. They had all a couple seats saved for them marked Amazon, right? Yeah. Like 10 chairs. I'm like, okay, so like 10, that sounds right. Like 40 people from Amazon showed up for this table read.
Really?
And what happened was it made the room really hot. So we're reading this, we're reading the pilot, and it's just getting hotter and hotter and hotter in there. And like, my character doesn't come into like page 39. Okay. And so, I'm sitting there just roasting in my own juices, and I'm looking around like, is anyone else hot? Am I getting nervous? What's happening? Like, it was a very physically uncomfortable situation. And then finally got to my part. I banged it out. I got some laughs. I was fine. I was glad it got laughs. I mean, it got huge laughs in the first read. Then it got just decent laughs in the second read, but still did very well.
Did you read the same way or not?
No, exactly the same. I tried to keep it exactly the same.
Right.
And then that was it. And then, you know, that's the thing. Afterwards, you just leave. Like, there's no
feedback or anything.
Right. There's no resolution. There's no notes from nothing like that. I mean, I'm sure for the creators and writers of the show there is, but not for us. So we just leave and hope that we did great, you know? Like, so I'm just driving home, of course, I always treat myself to a joint, good work, Greg. You earned this one. Right. So I'm in the parking lot, just burning out. It's like, okay, that was fine. It went fine. It went great. It went fine. It went great. Because there's no feedback. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing about comedy, is that you get the immediate feedback.
Immediately. You tell a joke, which is both good and bad.
You either laugh or not.
Right.
And at auditions, you don't. They either, like, sometimes you do an audition, but they don't laugh at all.
Right.
And then you book it, or they laugh hysterically.
And you either book it, or you hear nothing. Like, yeah. You just never hear anything. And so you have to sit there. And the weird thing is, like, I've had things come back around weeks later after I've written them off.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, by the way, you're the choice. I'm like, what the fuck? I thought that was gone. And because of stupid situations like that, you can then, when you don't hear something immediately, you can convince yourself, well, you know, maybe they didn't have a chance to meet about it yet. Maybe someone's still looking at it. And you just go. And so you torture yourself day after day. And then you're like, well, it shot yesterday. So, nah, it'd probably win.
I've cried in my car after auditions. I have. I've like.
That you never should have told another person.
I don't care.
What a puss.
Yeah.
You've cried? Why? Cried. Well, and that's the thing, because you want it.
I've cried and punched the fucking steering wheel. Fucking call to people. Oh, I hate this fucking. What am I doing with my life?
That's the problem. Is when you want. See, guys that don't need it, and don't want it. So, but I feel like they do great because they go in there totally. They're like, whatever. I'm gonna. Blah. And then those are the guys that they're like, that guy. He's crazy. We go in there with such a desire to win.
Like, it's like vagina. It's like,
yeah. When you try too hard, you lose it.
It's like when you don't care whether the girl likes
you get
you
all
or
the
not,
puss.
You get all the puss.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with situations like that. I always try and tell myself, remember, they need you. They need you. Not the other way
around.
Same
thing with audiences sometimes. It's like, yeah. You have to like not care if they, you have to pretend that you don't care if they laugh or not, and they'll laugh.
You know what I do? Like, if someone crushes, even though I know I can do it, even though I've done it a million times, you still realize I'm following a guy that just crushed. What I do on the way to the stage, I'll tell myself, Greg, it's 0-0. The score is 0-0. Because if you think about it in terms of the score being 100-0, yeah, then you try too hard thinking you have to dig yourself out of a hole that doesn't really exist.
Right. No.
You know? So I tell myself that, and it kind of resets the energy. Greg, don't worry, it's 0-0.
Well, you know what I think you need? I think you need Fuegobox.com.
Oh, without question.
Everyone's done all the standard gift items. Clothes, cologne, a nice bottle of liquor. Done. We've got something different and much better than any of those this holiday season. Do you put hot sauce on everything?
Yes.
I do. Yeah. I love hot sauce.
Everything.
If so, it's time to check out Fuego Box, a hot sauce club that delivers boxes of small batch and gourmet hot sauces right to your doorstep. They focus on flavor over heat and always avoid gimmicky selections. Think of it as a hot sauce club for people who love food. I know you love food.
Look at me.
Here you go. So to purchase, go to FuegoBox.com and use code GASTRO for $10 off your first box. That's FuegoBox.com, promo code, check it out, for $10 off. Use promo code GASTRO for $10 off. The best hot sauce you probably never heard of. Check it out, FuegoBox.com. Hello? Hello?
What up?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good.
This is, by the way, we are talking to Jared Flash Gordon.
All right.
A man who is 14-1.
Wow.
Yes.
Sugar.
Yes, Sugar. Yeah. Oh, this is Sugar again. Oh, sorry, man. I'm calling you back. Oh, sorry, Sean. I'll talk to you soon, brother. All right, take care, brother. You're 9-0. Thanks, buddy. All right. So all right. Here we go. We're now really calling Jared Flash Gordon. Here we go.
Was that Sean O'Malley?
Yeah, that was Sean O'Malley.
That was nice of him to pick up.
Yeah. I like that kid.
We should send him a Fuego box.
Yes, I think he might be my new favorite fighter.
He's great. He's 9-0.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
9-0 with 6 knockouts.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got fucking power. Power. We'll see if this works.
Yeah, they killed all the jacks, all the inputs, everything.
And they do it just to make fucking
now
money.
The new one doesn't even have a home screen.
Really?
Yeah, the 10. Like the home button, rather. There's no home button. Like it just, I don't know. I guess you just go to it or something. I don't know.
I got to do a Christmas party later.
Can I tell you something? I'm considering switching to Samsung because I'm supposed to do an upgrade right now on this phone.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to get the latest one. I'm supposed to go to either the 8 or the 10 because I'm on like that iPhone Forever program. But I mean, the more advances they make, I don't know. It seems more daunting to me. Like the Samsung Note seems more intuitive, seems simpler to use. I don't know. I'm considering switching over.
You should.
Yeah, to the Galaxy.
I don't know, but then you got to do. I got to learn. I don't want to have to relearn.
Shit. I think it's the same. I think it's,
really?
Yeah. Plus that I have a Mac, and I don't like it sharing everything between my phone and the Mac. I like them to be separate worlds.
It always tells me I never know my passwords because I always change them, and I have like 30 different passwords for everything.
Yeah.
And then I have to like have to email me the new password, and then
you got
to
reset it.
And I got to do that fucking like, CAPTCHA thing, and yeah. Then I have to like, and they give you quizzes of like how many street signs are in this.
I hate the street sign thing. I'm like,
fuck alone.
Well, I mean, there's a tiny little sliver of it in this one. Does this count?
Yeah, I know, right? It's never like in the box.
Yeah.
It's always in a sliver in a fucking. Yeah, I know.
I'm like, do you want me to check that? Is that the test then to see if you see the sliver in the other box?
Yeah, it's so annoying. And then the CAPTCHA has like. Even the letters are like, you can't tell if it's a capital J or a lowercase j or like a K or is it an L or an I. It's just such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, that's wrong. It's like, really? Okay, let's try it again.
Nobody wants my information.
Is that an RN or an M?
Nobody's hacking into my shit. People looking at my bank account get depressed.
Okay? Dude, I almost got fished today.
Really?
I got a thing. It was like, oh, you know, this processed out of your PayPal, this payment to this company for $69. And I'm like, what? And then there's a box at the bottom. It's like, you know, to contest this charge, you know, click here if this wasn't you. And so I click it and it goes right to, and so it looked exactly like a PayPal email. And then I clicked it and it went to a website which looked like the PayPal login. And I was like, wait a minute. What the fuck is this shit? So then I went into my actual PayPal account via the app, and there were no transactions listed. And I was like, oh, these motherfuckers. I almost gave them my total login for PayPal.
I hate people.
So then I sent that email to PayPal.
And I hate PayPal. It takes 50. Like, I got a $1,500 thing for PayPal. It took out 50 bucks. I'm like, what did they do?
Yeah.
$50.
That's their percentage, man.
Fucking high percentage.
Got to pay the. That's why everyone moved over to Venmo, because Venmo doesn't take anything out.
Really?
Yeah.
But people don't have Venmo.
Well, that's why, because, well, Venmo is more of like a personal one as opposed to a commercial one. Everybody's on PayPal, or Square may take a little bit less than PayPal, but it takes some too. I mean, that's how they
Venmo
make money.
Tells me what everyone else is doing. Like,
yeah, I know.
Andrea gave this guy $60. I don't give a fuck.
Totally. And what? it's all drug transactions. Half of it is fucking drugs and the other half is gambling. Like, it's all
it's like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's like, can we kill the social component? Like, can we just, they're trying to make it like a social financial thing at the same time and it makes no sense.
Even when I take money out, they're like, you want to check your balance? No. Like, don't ask me.
Yeah.
I know how much money I don't have. Yeah. Like, I don't need to check my balance all of a sudden.
I love it when I get money on PayPal and then you want to withdraw and they're like, all right, how much you want to withdraw? I'm like, fucking all of it. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm going to keep stuff for you.
Yeah, let me just leave you a little something and you do whatever you want with that. I know, it makes no, is anybody not withdrawing the full amount?
Yeah, I know.
Who the fuck's just leaving all their money on PayPal?
So dumb. It's so dumb. I got to do a Christmas show later.
Yeah.
Another one of these private parties.
Yeah.
It pays really well, but the last one I got yanked during my set by the person, because I get there, they're like, it's a car dealership. Car dealership in Camarillo, right?
Okay.
So they're a Christmas party. It's okay. All Mexican.
Yeah.
So I go, hey, you mind if I keep it, like, just make them laugh, right? Like, just make them laugh. Like, 5 minutes in, the guy goes, hey, could you tone it down? But he comes, first of all, there's no mic. The mic's going in and out on every punchline. There's no stage.
Yeah.
They're serving food from a buffet.
Oh, this is the worst.
Not even from, and
it's
then,
a tough setup.
And then, I'm going on during the food at 6:00.
Yeah.
Right? And like no, and then she goes, this is my announcement. Guys, guess what? We don't have a magician this year. We have a surprise, a comedian. No name or credits, just comedian.
Just here's comedian.
And then the guy comes up to me after like 30 minutes and he goes, hey man, I'll give you the full amount plus $100 if you stop now. Like he was like, don't worry, I'll pay you and everything. You don't do any. He's like, we don't want to offend anybody else. I go, who here is offended? No one raised their hand. And I'm like, see, this, but Captain Offense here doesn't want me to offend anybody. God forbid. And then I gave a whole stand-up comedy at that point. And it was, no one spoke English. Someone's like, do you have
so he didn't
Hispanic?
Give you the extra $100?
No, he did. He gave me extra $100.
Oh, my God.
But what a fucking disaster that was.
Oh, my God.
But that wasn't even like the worst.
And your set isn't even that dirty. Like, you can do a really clean set.
I know.
Like, just joke to joke.
Of course. It wasn't even dirty. I'm doing a show.
Crowd work? Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the jokes weren't going over, so I was like, I'll just make fun of people individually. And then that was making them laugh.
Right, that always works. But then he was like, oh my God, he's talking to us. Oh no, shut it down.
Yeah, I know. And then the guy was like, you're out of here. Like he was like a fake umpire.
Yeah.
And then he was the boss. And then I was ripping on him, but everyone was afraid to laugh at him. One of the worst shows I did was a college show where it was like brought to you by the Cancer Benefit. So they had a video of like all these kids
with cancer first.
Yeah.
And then some jokes.
And then at the end they were like, rest in peace, every kid in the video.
My God.
So then the lights come on and everyone's crying. And then I got to do my set after that. It was just, that wasn't even like, I've done baby showers while the woman's still pregnant. And just like,
you get a lot of random gigs, man. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, but those are always the funniest stories.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the wedding, getting attacked at the wedding was still like one of my favorites.
Dude, that was classic.
Yeah. So that was, I got to do the Christmas party. And then, I don't know. So, all right. MMA news, this MMA podcast. My buddy Eric Anders called out Machida in Brazil. He's fighting Machida in Brazil. Look, I think Leona Machida. I think he's done. He got knocked out by Derek Brunson quickly. At a certain point, it's just diminishing returns. And what does he have to prove? Good for Eric Anders, though.
Did his brother lose his last fight, too?
Yeah, to the Irish kid.
Yeah.
In Bellator.
Yeah. I watched that fight. I'm like, oh my God, here goes Machida. This is one of the Machida. I'm telling my fiance about this too, who really doesn't care, but she lets me talk at her during these things while she reads. I'm like, he's one of the Machida brothers. Leona Machida, the dragon. He was the champ for a while and all this. I'm like, this guy's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. Then he got fucking beaten. I'm like, well, I guess it doesn't all just run in the family. I guess all the good genes ended with Leona.
My wife still like, I'll be like, he came on the podcast. Like, wow. Like, she does not care at all. Like,
right. Yeah.
I mean, it just.
That's right. They don't have to care. So long as they let me talk. You know what I mean? Let us talk. That's all that matters.
McGregor versus Mayweather was the second biggest pay-per-view ever.
That's why they did it.
Which shows you how, that's why Donald Trump's our president.
Pretty much the
same people who believe that McGregor was going to beat Mayweather and paid for it. But you know what? I mean, now McGregor says today in TMZ he's going back into MMA. We actually have him on the phone. Connor, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing there? It's fine to be back on MMA Roasted.
Now, are you still going to be... now, they said that you're the second biggest. Are you proud of this? I mean, you didn't beat Mayweather Pacquiao.
Which surprised me, because to be honest, ours was much more of a fight. The one with Pacquiao, he was 1,000 years old. No one needs to pay to see a small little man beat up on an elderly person.
Now, I did have you winning the first four rounds of the Mayweather fight. That was very impressive.
Thank you very much. I thought I won them all. When he stopped the fight, I couldn't believe it. I had so much more to give.
You were out on your feet.
Well, listen. What can I say? I felt pretty good. Sure, I was seeing stars, but there were a lot of celebrities there.
Now, I thought that at one point you had a body shot that they called a low blow, but I thought you actually hurt Mayweather, but they didn't give you the... It seemed like they said it called it a low blow. I thought it was bullshit.
Well, it was all bullshit.
Now, there was a thing of you dating this big singer in Australia. What's her name? She said date night. I forgot the girl's name. But you have a wife or a girlfriend and kid. What's going on?
Listen, I'm Conor McGregor. I got three girls underneath my nutsack as we speak.
Really?
That's right.
Right now you...
And those are not even my side chicks. They're my emergency under the nutsack chicks.
Wow. Now, but isn't your wife... I mean, somebody seems like a very nice woman. She's a very pretty one.
Do you know her?
No, Rita Ora. Rita Ora says that, like, date night with McGregor at the Fashion Awards. So was that... Did you bang Rita Ora?
Of course I banged her. I banged her before we left. I banged her during the awards. And I banged her on the limo ride home.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's right. But I don't even remember her name. You had to tell me.
You don't remember Rita Ora's name? Now, by the way...
By the way, that's the sound I make when I have an orgasm.
Now, CB Gold... CB Gold just showed up. CB, where were you, CB?
I was busy getting a Connor tattoo on my taint.
Wow, on your taint.
That's right. And now, look, now Connor's hair is actually my pubes. And then when I spread eagle, it's like he's trying to cough.
It looks like McGregor's trying to cough when you spread eagle.
That's right, because his mouth is my butthole. My pubes are his hair, and his mouth is my butthole, and his nose is right between my butthole and my balls.
I mean, this is getting kind of out of control, CB. I mean, now this is your sixth McGregor tattoo.
But now, when I'm taking a shit, I'm also talking shit.
Wow, that's true. You are talking shit. Now, you have a girlfriend now. Does she like your McGregor tattoo?
Oh, she loves one. In fact, I got one for her, too.
Oh, she has a tattoo of McGregor?
Yes, over her face.
Really?
That's right. So I'm officially... making out with Conor McGregor.
Wow. Now, you see, your girlfriend has a McGregor tattoo on her face.
Now, don't you be getting my face on your girlfriend's face just so you can be making out with me. You don't deserve this Irish gold.
Now, CB, now, McGregor, you've met CB. What do you think of him?
I don't know, CB. He's just one of those random people I always have to have security removed from my salad.
From your salad?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I actually got caught in... I was pretending to be a crouton in his Caesar salad.
Really? But I mean, you're a big guy. How did you fit in the salad?
My face was actually up through the table. I cut a hole in the table and was and then when he moved,
that's right, I moved the salad away and there's this creep's face smiling at me.
Wow, so you're not a fan of CB Gold?
I don't know him, I don't like him, I don't want to know him.
All right, okay.
Except of course when he does do my asshole bleaching.
He bleaches your asshole for
That's
you?
Right, that's what he does. He bleaches my
Well, it isn't actually a bleach. What I do is I put a little Clorox on my tongue and then I give it a good a tongue massage. I tongue dart it until it's nice and clean.
Well, I mean, CB, this is kind of ridiculous. I mean, the fact that you're licking McGregor's asshole, that's insane.
What can I say? It's my dream job.
Wow. All right. Okay. Was that him, by the way?
I don't know. That's... I tell you what. Oh, okay. You need to get back to doing your podcast.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Because you finally had the fucker call in, and you didn't bother to answer the fucking phone.
That's true. Oh, take care, Connor. Take care of CB.
All right. I'll see you later. I got to go do his butthole business.
All right. Okay. Good. Bleach. Good. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So now we are calling Jared Brooks, finally. See if this actually works. Technology, man.
It's going great.
Now, Rowdy Beck, she lost her last fight against Jessie Jess, who's fighting Jessie Jess hot chick. You remember Jessie Jess? She's this hot chick with a face tattoo that, like a little one.
Oh, yeah.
She was my cat sitter as well. Super cool chick. So Jess is now fighting the pretty one, Paige VanZant. Uh-huh. But Rowdy Beck, you know, she lost her last fight. That's now two in a row. We have her on the phone. How are you, Rowdy?
I tell you, it's been quite a bit of trouble trying to get back into the ring.
You got in the ring. You were in the octagon.
That's what I was doing. Now, it's been very hard ever since my last defeat.
Now you lost a fight. It was a close fight.
Yeah.
Did you think you won that fight?
Of course I felt I won.
What's so funny, Rowdy Beck? You seem to be laughing a lot.
I seem to have eaten a...
what? A fat burner? Is that what happened again?
I haven't had a chance to talk to anyone in quite some time.
Wow. All right. Okay. All right. Well, listen, Rowdy Beck, you know, you got to get yourself together. I'm a big fan of yours, Rowdy Beck. Do you have a boyfriend? Are you seeing anybody?
I'm saying everybody.
You're fucking everybody?
Everybody, but you eat him.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm married now, but I would have liked to, back when I was single, that would have been a good time.
Then why did you text me just next week?
I did not text you.
You texted me how much you wanted to eat me out.
No, I did not. I would not text you
Maybe
that.
As long as 2 weeks ago.
Wow, all
should
right.
Should I tweet it? I should tweet it to your new wife?
Yeah, please tweet it. That'll go very well. That'll go very well. All right, I think we have the man right here. I think we have Jared Gordon. This should be covered. Like,
you know, I feel like we should all apologize for that last bit. That yeah,
was like, well, for Rowdy Beck?
Yeah.
No, poor, I mean she obviously wants me to eat her vagina.
She's so hot though.
Oh, this is not. Oh shit. Oh, that's a different number. Okay, this
we're
is
trying.
You know how like this like waiting for Guffman. This is like waiting for Gordon right here.
I knew. Well, he was calling, and I knew we needed to answer it.
I know, but like
I couldn't get Connor to shut up though.
I know. That well. Guy. Well, I thought maybe you had a phone call or something. All right.
There you go. Check it out. Yeah. Uh-huh.
How's your fantasy football doing, dude?
Dude, can I tell you something? I'm so mad.
Why?
This is the first year in years that I've been knocked out of the playoffs in the first round.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it is a game I absolutely should have won.
Don't you have a podcast about how,
yes,
about how good you are?
Can I tell you, not about how good why, I am, just breaking, just, you know, just analyzing it. And usually, last year I won one league and played in the championship of the other. And
did you make any money on this?
Yeah, I make a little bit in daily fantasy. I mean, I've yet to hit a big pot. I think the most I won was like, I don't know, $31, I think, once. But I consistently win like $8 here, $5 there. So I don't really have to spend any money on it. It always kind of makes it so it kind of evens out.
Yeah, yeah.
I never really get too far up or too far down. I love it and I'm a big enthusiast. But, I've said it before, your season is kind of won and lost on draft day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Hello.
Hey, is this Jared?
This is him.
What's going on, man? We finally got you. How are you, buddy?
Sorry about that. I'm doing well. How you doing?
It's okay, man. It's okay. I'm a huge fan of yours, by the way. I've been watching your fights. I've been following your life, man. You've had some fucking. How old are you?
29.
I mean, you've lived the life of like 20 people, man. It's crazy. So let's get it. So you grew up in Queens?
Yeah, I grew up in Long Island as like a kid, and then I moved to Queens later on, like when I was like 15.
What part of Long Island?
I was in Nassau County in Roslyn.
Roslyn. I'm from Oceanside.
Oh, really? That's funny. Small world.
Roslyn's a really nice area. A super rich area.
Yeah, yeah. My dad's a Jewish business owner.
Nice. Oh, there you go. Okay. So you grew up. Did you do any kind of combat sports as a kid, or did you play any sports?
I boxed and wrestled as a kid. I wrestled when I was in school over there, and then when I moved to Queens, there was like no wrestling programs in the city.
What high school? Do you go to Cordoza?
I went to. It's a public high school open to all of the boroughs. It's called Academy of American Studies.
Oh wow!
It's just like a regular. It's just a high school, but it's just open to all the boroughs. So you kind of have to like apply to get accepted there. But it's in like Queensboro Plaza, like right next to Queensbridge. So it was a pretty seedy area when I went to school over there.
Was it hard being the new kid in school coming from Roslyn over to Queens?
It was weird, man. I thought that, like, when I went to school in Roslyn, like, all the kids were, like, actually, like, a bunch of dirtbags. They all had money, and they were all into, doing stupid shit. So when I went to Queens, I was like, wow, the kids are going to be killers over here. And, man, everyone grew up in, like, a poor neighborhood, and they all were working hard to get out of there. Like, they wanted to do well in school and, like, go to college and stuff, so... When I went there, I was like, whoa, this is weird. Like, everyone's, like, a good person here. So it was a bit of a culture shock because, I went to school with predominantly, like, white kids, like Italian, Irish, and like, Jewish kids. So when I moved to Queens, it was like, I was the minority at that point.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. And then you started at 17 years old. You worked into you walked into your first MMA gym?
Yes, I walked into it was combined martial arts, but it was the Rhino Fight Team. Frankie Edgar started there. A bunch of other guys started there. I walked in there and I signed up for boxing and jiu-jitsu, and 4 months later, I had my first amateur fight.
Damn. Damn. I mean, that. But you had some wrestling background, so you.
Yeah, some boxing and wrestling background, so I caught on quick, but.
Nice, and then like no college, graduated high school. You knew right then you wanted to be a fighter.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly how it went.
That's awesome. And then I was reading about you, so like you won your first couple fights. You got into it. You were totally into it. And then you fought a guy, Jeff Lentz, and you were in such. And then after that you were prescribed pain medication, right? What, for your shoulder or your, what was it?
Well, I was addicted to drugs way before Jeff. I started doing drugs at an early age, and then it progressed as I got older. But I hurt my neck when I was like 18 before I ever became a pro fighter. Mm-hmm. And I started doing pain medication then. So I used, and then I started like doing OxyContin and sniffing them and then shooting them. And I got clean. I was clean for 2 years, had a shoulder surgery, relapsed. Got another year and a half, and then I fought. Got another year and a half clean, then I fought Jeff Lentz. So I was already deep into like trying to get sober and addiction at that point.
So I mean,
but when I fought Jeff,
yeah,
yeah,
you know, he broke my orbital and was in the head trauma unit, giving me IV Dilaudid, which is, you know, basically heroin. Yeah. I was clean a year and a half, and I'm a fucking, excuse my language, I'm a dope shooter. So when I went from being clean, you know, to basically shooting dope again, I came out and I had, I basically felt like I had no other option but to get high again.
Right. Wow. But now, who turned you on to heroin?
Man, that's a good question. I just, actually, you know what, it was more or less myself. I was already shooting, you know, like every other pain medication that you can shoot. But I was living in Queens and, you know, everyone over here was like, oh, we don't have painkillers, but, you know, we sell heroin. So I actually knew some people in the neighborhood. I just asked around a couple, like a little bit, and I knew that heroin was cheaper and stronger. So I actually bought heroin on my own accord and started using it on my own, really.
Well, that's what they say happens a lot of times, is that it starts with the prescriptions and then it's just easier to get heroin than to go keep trying to find the prescriptions.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing the whole doctor shopping thing, right. You know, selling them and, you know, I was going to doctors and getting people to go to doctors. And eventually that all ran out because it started cracking down. The doctors started getting arrested. The pills became more expensive. And who wants to spend all that money on pills when you can buy cheaper, stronger heroin?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I have a lot of family members that are into that, and it's kind of the same thing. It was painkillers to heroin. Now, as far as training, like, were you still going to the gym and training while shooting up and taking this stuff?
Yeah, I was doing it on and off. I would, even when I was an amateur, when I was like 17, 18, I would like, you know, eat like 20 Vicodin, 15 Vicodin, go fight, and then I would, like, you know, later on in my addiction, I would start, like, training. I'd be getting high. Then I would be out of the gym. I would be in the gym. You know, I was, like, in and out. So it was, like, hit or miss with me. I was either in the gym or I wasn't. Or I was getting high, going to the, you know, it just was on and off, really.
And then what are your coaches saying to you at this time?
Oh, man, I have, it's funny, actually. I'm actually in Atlantic City right now at the Borgata. I'm going to watch the CFFC event tonight, whatever. So I remember one time I was here at the Borgata, and I was supposed to fight this kid, Bill Algio. And this was a little over two years ago. And I was shooting dope, man, and I was in the tub trying to cut weight. And, man, I have my coaches and the president of CFFC. They saw my arms, and they were all tracked up, and they were like, "Are you kidding us?" You know, and our coach, my coach, he doesn't take shit, man. He's like a no shit type of guy. He did give me a couple of chances to get my act together, but he's pretty adamant about me staying sober, and he doesn't want to deal with me because he doesn't want to condone my bullshit, you know. So my coaches they know all about my addiction, and everyone, my managers, my fan, you know, everyone knows about my past. So they're all on top of me. Like, if any time I act funny, any bit of like, oh, Jared seems weird today, they ask me, like, you're all right? Like, how's everything going? Like, you know, so I can tell when they're on to me.
Yeah, so you got a good support system happening now.
Oh, yeah, I got a huge support network. You know, the first couple times I got sober, even when I had, like, you know, a year or two, I wasn't really, like, doing anything to keep myself sober besides fighting. I wasn't going to meetings. You know, I go to AA meetings. I have an AA sponsor. I help other people, you know, try to stay clean. And so, like, I have to do something every day to keep myself sober because, like, for me, I don't just, like, you know, smoke pot and drink a little alcohol. I'm, like, shooting coke and heroin, you know, so I have to keep everything up front, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you're a very, very inspiring guy. I mean, you went to rehab 10 times. After, like, the seventh time or eighth time where people just sort of like, oh, okay, yeah, I've seen this and sort of giving up on you?
Yeah, I mean, my friends kind of, you know, turned their backs because they didn't want to condone it. My parents never gave up on me. I actually have an older brother who's a heroin addict also, but he's been clean for 7 years. But so they like, and they dealt with addiction in their family. So they kind of, you know, been at the forefront before, so they never wanted to give up on me. But yeah, like friends and coaches, they kind of, you know, teammates, they're kind of like, you know, they got sick of my shit and I can't blame them. You know, but I went to rehab 10 times. I got arrested 8 times indirectly or directly due to drugs and alcohol and, you know, just being a criminal. I went to the psych ward a couple times.
Wow.
I've been in homeless shelters. I've been in crisis centers. I've been in all sorts. I've been in every kind of facility that you can be in. That's like state run, basically.
Wow. So how long now have you been sober for?
I'll have 2 years on the 27th.
That's awesome. And now here you are. You're 14-1 in the UFC. I mean, that's so impressive, man.
It's pretty amazing, man.
I mean, that is so inspiring.
And do you credit your sobriety with this success? I mean, it seems like they go hand in hand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I wasn't sober, then, you know, well, for me, I'd probably be dead or in jail. But
by the way, we have to thank our sponsor, speedweed.com. No, by the way, no. do you have a girlfriend, a wife? What's the deal with socially?
I mean, I'm like here and there, you know. I haven't like settled down with anyone yet.
Yeah.
So like, not as of right now, you know, there's girls around me, but, you know, I'm taking it like slow because like my career comes first and, you know, like my sobriety comes first. So before I just like jump into a relationship, I have to make sure that like, you know, it's going to help me and not, you know, fuck
my
head
up. Let me ask you something. When it comes to girls and the kind of life that you've got now, like, what do you think would be better for you? A girl that had also recovered and understood the struggles so you guys could help each other stay clean? Or someone who's never lived that life and would be, you know, and doesn't relate to it at all, but also would never even think about bringing that kind of thing into your home?
I mean, I guess, let me tell you something about, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, sound like an asshole, but girls that are in recovery, they've been through a lot, you know?
Yeah. In a good way.
A lot of the times they carry like way more baggage than a guy does.
Oh, okay. Right. Now I see what you're saying. You know what I mean?
I do a lot of comedy shows for people in like recovery.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I did one for all women. They're all like so many hot chicks there, but you're just like
the story. Yeah.
Any joke that I had,
yeah,
I'm like,
up.
They all raised their hand. They could identify with.
Like,
it's scary, man, because like, I did a lot of crazy shit to get money and drugs. Like, you know, I beat people up, I robbed people, I broke into houses. So you can imagine if you're a woman, what you're doing to get money and drugs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
were you ever
and things that happened to them in the past?
Were you ever a male prostitute?
No, I never. When it got bad for me, I more or less just would rob drug dealers or robbed steel shit. I was stealing, you know, doing like stealing stuff from like Home Depot and pawning it and robbing drug dealers. Like that was way easier for me.
What's your record 16, in what's your record in drug dealer fights?
I'm actually undefeated, man.
Nice, yeah.
I had a gun put in my face one time, and I kind of had to just say, "All right, you got this." But they didn't rob me; they were just trying to punch me out.
So it was a draw.
It was a draw.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it's a little different.
Damn, you've had some life, man. Now I know that like sometimes when like boxers were gonna fight other boxers, people would send prostitutes or food. Do people send like heroin to like your hotel?
Slow down your training.
Like the night before a fight or something?
I mean, I've had things like that before, where I need people to meet me. My thing. I actually just I just met Karen. He was a Celtics.
Yeah.
You're breaking up a little.
Hello? You're not. Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Damn. It's a good interview. All right.
You know, there he is.
Oh, you're back. Who did you meet?
I met Chris Herron. He was on the Celtics. He was on the Nuggets. He was a big basketball player. Whatever. So he was telling us a story where he was warming up for a Celtics game, and he was at the... I think it's the TD Arena where they play. And he needed drugs, and he was warming up. He was in his warm-up outfit, and his dealer met him outside on the corner, and he's wearing his warm-up outfit outside, and everybody's looking at him like, yo, aren't you supposed to be playing in 5 minutes? And he's out there copping OxyContin on the corner in his freaking warm-up outfit, and everybody's looking at him like, and this was his first game for the Celtics, so he was making his debut basically, and he's outside on the corner copping drugs like in a drug dealer's car right before the game. So
wow,
I thought that was pretty hysterical. Yeah,
damn, dude. Well, listen, man, you've come such a long way, dude. You're such an inspiring guy. Where could people? I know there are a lot of listeners out there who have issues of our podcast. Where can people find you?
they have issues with us.
Yeah, with us, but also with like themselves. So, where can people find you?
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm JFlashGordonMMA.
Yep,
nice.
And on Instagram, I'm Jared Flash Gordon. And hey, you guys can hit me up anytime you want. I'll literally, you know, answer all you guys. If I could help one of you guys not have to deal with the bullshit I did, then I'm here to help.
Thank you, man.
What a guy, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. You're a great guy, man. And enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Take care. All right. That was Jared Flash Gordon.
Nice.
What a story, huh?
Man, he's seen some road. Yeah. He's seen a lot of dark times.
That dude's not afraid of anything.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, I was saying earlier about, you know, so you're in and out of rehab and it doesn't work if you don't want it to. This is a guy that kept getting retrapped by the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he didn't want to relapse. He relapsed because of injury. And then, you know what I mean? It brings up the broader question of the way these things are just prescribed like they're nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like they're just a pain. They prescribe them like it's aspirin or Tylenol or something, but it's not. It's fucking heroin in a pill.
And they're making money on it.
Yeah. And then nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
And all these people wind up on heroin because it's easier to get heroin than it is to keep getting these pills. But these pills are so they killed Prince. Prince was a teetotaler. Never drank, never did drugs, didn't allow it in Paisley Park. But then he fucking has the hip surgery, starts taking the pills. Same thing with Michael Jackson. Starts taking, you know, he had the burned head thing from the Pepsi commercials. So then he starts taking, they did skin grafts.
That's not what happened.
Then he gets, isn't that how he got healed on the painkillers?
No, what happened was Farrah Fawcett died, and then God asked her, what do you want to do? And she said, save the children. And then the God killed Michael Jackson.
That sounds right. That's right. I'm sorry. I did see that. That was on People.
Yeah, that's
that was in People magazine.
That's
Farrah Fawcett. What the fuck are you?
That was the joke though, after he died. Like God said, what do you want to do? Save the children. And he kills Michael Jackson.
You mean Sally Struthers?
No, isn't it Farrah Fawcett? Died like the day before. Michael Jackson?
I don't know. Did she?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Okay. She said, I want to save the children. God killed. That's a good joke. I didn't make it. Fuck you. That's a great joke.
I think it's a great joke within those 3 days if you know that Farrah Fawcett fucking died 2 days before him. I mean, I don't know. She's not exactly known for her care for children. Sally Struthers, she did all those stupid ass commercials. Farrah Fawcett's known for fucking the poster we all beat off to as children. She wants to save the children. We all would have fucking lost our boners.
She saved the children.
She saved the children from jerking off to her in the 70s.
The kids in the socks. She saved.
Yeah, she saved the children
from being born. Anyway, what do you have coming up?
I already told you. Yeah, the we got the El Paso comic strip. We have the Dirty at 12:30 at the South Point Casino on the 29th of December, and then New Year's Eve at the Underground Comedy Club in downtown Seattle, Washington. Come out and see me. I rock those shows. They're always a lot of fun.
December 21st to the 31st, 25th to the 31st, I will be at the Stratosphere in Las Vegas. I'm in Pechanga Casino January 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Oh, and I want to do a guest spot for you when I'm there on Friday.
In Pechanga?
Yeah, no, at the Stratosphere.
Nice, do it. Absolutely. And San Diego, the Comedy Palace, Friday the 12th, 13th of January. And at the Seattle, at the Underground, recording my CD January 18th, 19th, and 20th in Seattle. And then in Alberta, Calgary, Alberta Comedy Cave, the 23rd to the 28th.
Who books you down at the Palace now? Who books it now?
Zach.
Oh, he's still booking it.
Still booking it.
Yeah, all right.
So listen, thank you for listening to our podcast. I hope you guys all have a great weekend and your happy holidays. Thank you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Та нар стоотан дөрвөлэн боруулаа.